Good morning. I'm sorry I can't be with you this morning at Christ Lutheran Vale Church, but I am in northern Tucson at a mission plant that started 2 years ago. And since I'm the circuit visitor for southern Tucson, I've been invited to come and speak at their two-year anniversary. And so I can't be with you this morning, but I can be with you through the miracle of modern technology by preaching to you through this video sermon. Actually, there's been lots of technological innovations in the church over the last 100 years. So video sermon is just one of many. For example, if you were to go to church 100 years ago, you may not have had things like electricity or maybe even air conditioning. There's always been a few changes to church. There's always been innovations in the church. But probably the greatest innovations in the church happened 500 years ago with the Reformation. Today we're celebrating, continuing to celebrate in the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, and this is part of a sermon series to talk about how the church changed and how the Reformation changed things in the world. And today we're going to talk a little bit about innovation. Because if you'd have gone to church at the time of Martin Luther, it would have been something so foreign to you, you might not even recognize it. Because 500 years ago at the Reformation, if you were to go to church, it would look a whole lot different. For example, the priest would have been up front celebrating Mass in Latin, and most of the people would have come and they would have been in the back of the church. They wouldn't necessarily have been in the front of the church watching the priest do the liturgy to turn the bread and the wine into the body and blood of Christ. As a matter of fact, they didn't even have a place to sit down. And there are a lot of churches today, Orthodox churches, around the world where they still don't have pews, where you go to church and you're standing up. So the fact that you're sitting down in a church is a huge innovation. So what would happen is that the priest would go through the liturgy in Latin. He would transform the body, the bread and the wine into the body and blood of Christ. And then it would be time for communion. The people from the back would come forward. The priest would give him the body of Christ, but not the blood of Christ, because only the priest would drink the blood of Christ, and then they would pretty much leave. And that's basically how church looked like at the time of Luther. As you can see, there's been a lot of different innovations since Luther's time. The church sometimes has to innovate. Sometimes the church has to change. And there was no greater change in the church than at the time of the Reformation. We're going to talk about that a little bit this morning from our text from Ephesians chapter 4. And I want to just basically talk to you a little bit about an idea, about a concept. And it's this. I'm sure you've heard about a thing called a product life cycle. A product life cycle is where somebody develops a concept, an idea. And then that idea you have to find out if that idea can actually work. You have to actually do some research and development, find out if you can find supply chains, parts, materials, if the idea can actually be constructed or built. And then once you figure that out, then you have to promote the idea. You've got to find people to invest their money into building this product or idea, and then you have to find people to buy the product or idea, and then you have to go to the next step, which is you have to find people and train them to actually produce this new product, and then you produce the product. And that's called the product life cycle. You come up with the idea, you vet it, you promote it, you build it, and then you sell it. And then somebody else comes along and decides that they're going to build a better mousetrap. And so businesses are constantly looking at ways that they can improve their product or improve what they're trying to do. The same thing happened at the Reformation. Because at the time of Luther, the worship service was simply a time to go and mingle with your friends and watch the priest churn the body or the bread and the wine into the body and blood of Christ and then go home. But something happened at the time of Luther. Luther realized that the worship service was an incredible opportunity, and so he decided to go back and look at the worship service and figure out what changes can we make to the worship service. What changes could Luther make to the worship service? If you remember, Luther had been excommunicated. And because Luther had been excommunicated, he was freed from the shackles of Rome to actually go back and look at every aspect of Christianity and say, how can we make it better? And the Reformation saw some of the greatest changes in the church that we've ever seen since the time of Luther. want to look at this list behind me. This is from Ephesians 4. And we've all seen this. We read it this morning. He's called some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some shepherds, and some teachers. And we look at this list and we think of this as just different roles of the office. But there's been some people looking at this list and saying, wait a minute, maybe Paul's onto something. Maybe this isn't just a list of roles in the church, but maybe it's a list of how church gets done. We're going to look at that this morning because the first word on this list is the word apostle. It comes from the Greek word apostello, which means to send. In other words, an apostle is someone who goes out into the world and is sent into the world. And an apostle is one who goes into the world and looks at the culture around him and says, how can the gospel of Jesus Christ impact this culture? What is it about this culture that's missing because of sin, because of the fall of man, that the gospel of Jesus Christ can restore? That's what an apostle does. He looks, he perceives, and he says, this is an idea. So that's the apostle. Now, in Luther's time, as I've said about the worship service, it was totally different. Luther goes back and he says, wait a minute. The worship service should be something totally different than what we're seeing. The worship should be a time of doing something more than just receiving the body and blood of Christ. And he went and looked at the worship service and he came up with a whole bunch of different ideas. For example, he said, maybe we should do the worship service in German, in the language of the people. Now, the church would have said, there's no reason to do it in German. Why would we even care about it? Because the people don't even need to hear the words of the institution. Luther said, no, they need to hear what's going on in the worship service, and so we're going to put it in their language. Luther said, hey, by the way, we've got this thing called a printing press. Why don't we print Bibles, print scriptures, and give it to people? And the church said, well, people aren't going to be able to read it. Nobody can read in this culture. Why would you even want a Bible? And Luther said, well, then let's teach them to read. And the whole education system started because of the Reformation. And the whole purpose of the education system was to train people as to how to read so they could read scripture themselves. It was a huge change, a huge change. Luther perceived what he saw in the culture around him, and he said, wait a minute, the important thing isn't necessarily how we do worship. The important thing is getting the Word of God and the Scripture into the world around us. So Luther was a huge apostle. So then you have this next step is the prophet. Now, in product development, in the business life cycle, it's this idea of vetting the product to make sure that you can actually build it. And in Luther's time, he had this big idea about how he was going to change all the worship and change the structure of Christianity in Europe at the time. But he also had to make sure that he listened to the prophetic voice of God to make sure that he was doing things as he should do them. In Scripture, it says, in the olden days, there were the prophets, but in these latter days, we now have the Son. We have the Word of Jesus Christ. And Luther said, wait a minute, we have the Word of Jesus Christ. We can look in the Word and find out what we're doing to make sure that we're following God. And so he dug deeply into the Word to look at every aspect of Christian life to make sure that it was concurrent and agreed with the Word of God. And so he did. He had that prophetic voice. And then the next step was this, evangelist. Now, in product life cycle, the evangelist is the one that goes out and promotes the product. He's got to find buyers. He's got to find people to purchase stock in the company or whatever to produce this thing. But an evangelist, this is from the Greek word evangelion, which is basically the bearer of good news. Luther said, wait a minute, we have good news. We have great news to share. And so the evangelist is one who goes out and promotes the gospel of Jesus Christ. The next one is the shepherd. In the business life cycle, you've got basically you have to hire employees and you have to train these employees to produce the product. And a lot of times we have managers that manage employees, and we see managers basically making sure that the employee does the work right. You know, they punch in and they punch out and that sort of thing. But if you follow this, the role of a manager is actually that of a shepherd. The role of a manager is somebody to love and care for the employee, to look for the employee, to bring out the best in those employees, to love the employees, to train them, to provide them opportunities for growth, to show the employee that they're part of a bigger picture of what they're doing is important. I mean, if you think about the product life cycle, the role of a shepherd is an incredible role. And then, of course, you have the teacher. Jesus said, "Go ye therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey all that I've commanded you." So part of what the role of the church is to teach, and we have a message to teach. We have something that we have to teach. So basically what we saw in the Reformation was this, that Luther was an apostle. He looked for the Word of God. He promoted this new idea, and he was a shepherd to the people, and he was a teacher. It's a phenomenal thing that Luther did. It's an incredible thing that Luther did. He brought the Word of God into the hands of the people. And he knew that he was able to do this because Paul had laid this out, but also he knew the great message, which is that we're not saved by how we do church on Sunday morning. We are saved by the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're saved by the good news. What saves us is that Jesus Christ died for our sins. It's only God's word. It's only faith. It's only grace. Luther's big idea was that we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, by God's, through God's word alone. And when Luther brought that idea into the world, it changed everything. Everything that you see around us today, and the fact that you're sitting in church being able to watch this, is a product of the Reformation. Because we're not saved by rote ritual. We're saved by God's word and God's grace. There was a story I heard a number of years ago. It was about a man who went into a church in Milan, Italy, and he was a Catholic. He came into the church, and he noticed that people dipped their finger in the baptismal font, which is at the back of the church as you entered in, and they would make the sign of the cross, and they would turn to the right, and they would curtsy, and they would move up and sit down. And he thought, that's strange, but he didn't want to do anything different, so he dipped his foot and his finger in the water, and he did the sign of the cross. He turned to the right, and he curtsied, and he went up. And he went back afterwards trying to see if there was something on the ground, that what was going on. He didn't see anything. And so he kept doing that. Well, it turned out that the church had decided that they were going to do renovation. And they went into the church and they started kind of renovating the church. And they started stripping all the walls of all the paint and all that to get back to the original structure. And as they stripped the walls over to the right of the baptismal font, behind several layers of paint, they found a picture of Mary holding Jesus. And apparently what had happened is that people would come in, they would dip their finger in the baptismal water, make the sign of the cross, turn to Mary and Jesus and curtsy and go into church. But at some point, they had painted over the picture of Mary and Jesus with white paint, and they'd done another layer and another layer. And even though Mary and Jesus were no longer visible, people kept doing that to the point where people didn't even know why they did that anymore. It was just ingrained into them. And Luther, at the time of the Reformation, realized that there were a whole lot of things that the church was doing that were meaningless. They weren't based in Scripture. The only place that you could have was Scripture to base all things off of. And the Reformation was a huge opportunity for the church because they went back to God's Word. And they looked at everything. The reformers looked at everything that their church was doing and made it in alignment with God's word. And we still are experiencing the blessings of that today. The fact that you get to sit in church, the fact that you get to have air conditioning and light, and yes, even the fact that you are able to listen to this sermon through this incredible technology is all the product of the Reformation. Because we're not saved by the technology, we're not saved by the air conditioning, we're not saved by the lights. We're saved by God's grace and God's grace alone. May God richly bless you this morning. In his name, amen.